what I was going to share to make sure I wasn't going to step on. So I'm like, Kenny, it's a week away. How do I know I'm going to preach next week? He's like, I said, good news is I do know what I'm going to share next week, because as he was bringing this out in John 14, I really got this in my heart. So I'm not going to keep you long today. It's beautiful. It looks like a beautiful day. I don't know. Are they going to get the race in today? I haven't checked the weather. Close? Well, we'll see. The kids are up there. Those that don't know, I am not an open-wheel race car driver fan, but because of a certain family in our church and a certain relationship they have with one of the drivers, all of a sudden my kids and everyone's all excited about going open-wheel racing now because there's a driver they can root for. So we're excited, and they actually went and supposed to meet up with him this morning and talk to him. And yeah, they want actually me to go up and just pray with them before the race, and so we're gonna root on number four today. And is that four? Number four. And he's a awesome born again Brazilian Christian. He's dating one of the girls. If you guys saw the parade yesterday, actually Carissa was with him on the car, and so of course it's fun. It's fun, but we're gonna go up there, and I'm gonna get to go to the 500. And I said I talked to him at church. He was here a couple weeks ago. I said, Mateus, the last time I went to the Indy 500, you were not born yet. So this is going to be a labor of love. I'm not missing church for you, but I will go afterwards, and I'll watch you guys drive around that track for a long time. So it's going to be fun. You can see. So I might preach a little bit longer today because if I'm a little bit later for the track. No. But so let's get into the word. Here's what's my heart. Kenny has done an amazing job talking about who the Holy Spirit is, what his function is in our lives, and how he wants to work in us and through us. And I guarantee you, we're going to do this for a couple more weeks. We're going to go and we're going to celebrate Pentecost, and then I guarantee he's going to go back and teach some more. He's really excited about this. But one of the things is he's drawing out who the Holy Spirit is in our life. I keep hearing these words over and over again, and this is what stirred my heart, and this is what's going to stir the message this morning. The Holy Spirit is not an enabler. Okay? He's not an enabler. And he doesn't use us to enable others. Enablement is something that we do to help people, support people on a natural level rather than a spiritual level. It will bring spiritual death in people's lives if we enable people to live the way they're living. As I like to say, we can literally love people to hell. And we become now again, at this church, I think we're growing. There's still definitely some areas to grow in. We can be more loving. I think we all should grow, and I'm going to hit that a little bit today too. Love, I'll get there in a minute. We need to do this. But at the same time, we got to be careful that we're not loving people's sins so much that we're loving them so much they feel okay with their lives and they don't need Jesus. Because if they don't need Jesus, they don't need a Savior. If they don't need a Savior, they don't go and experience heaven. So I think we need it. So my encouragement today is he is the Spirit of truth. He's also our comforter. And I want to go and marry those two thoughts together today and hopefully get you out of here before the race is over, because that way I have to Uber up there at some point. I'm going to drive, and that way I don't have to fight the crowds and ride home with the family. But we'll get there. But John 14, let's start at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. So Kenny's done a great job on verse 16, another comforter. I just would love to imagine the days when Jesus is walking along with his disciples and imagine the comfort of knowing you're with Jesus. He was a comforter. But guess what? Jesus just told us he's giving us another comforter. Maybe it's not Jesus himself, but it's still God in us. No longer is he just walking beside. Because when Jesus left the area and he went up the mountain, they were by themselves again. We'll never be by ourselves again. The Great Commission promised it. When he left, he said, lo, I will be with you till the end of the earth. I will always be with you. And then he says, not only am I going to be with you, I'm going to give you my Spirit and I'm going to be in you. He has given us the best of both worlds. We get Jesus, but we get the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. And I just think if we understand God, lives in me. And yesterday, don't get me wrong, I want to give you the best news of the final of the story. Is this 20-something-year-old kid, the rest of the concert kept looking over. I don't know if he thought I was going to punch him he didn't. He kept looking back for the rest of the concert to see where my wife was so he'd move out of her way. You know what? Afterwards, I stopped him and said, hey, buddy, I might have been hard on you, and I apologize. I said, dude, honestly, we've been here 3 hours, and you all come in here and just rush this area. And you know what? When you talk back to my wife, because, no, man, I apologize to her. I said, she told me that. I said, we're good. And then Joshua and him starts talking, and he's like, oh, I'm going to IUPUI. Oh, I just graduated from IUPUI. And then their whole group started talking. He's like, now there's 20 IUPUI. I'd be like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. But three of these young kids came up and apologized as we talked. They knew they were wrong, but I was too. I overreacted because I don't like to talk to my wife that way. But at least I could apologize, because you know what? We still have to be a representative of truth, but also we got to do it in love. If we don't represent Jesus everywhere we're at, even if it's a concert or a racetrack or wherever, if we're still, God lives in me. And if the people around me cannot see the God in me, then I'm not doing a very good job. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. So let me jump ahead. Okay, so John 14, the word comforter, parakletos. It means one who comes alongside of you, one who is a support to you, one is a helper, and one who is an encourager. So this is something, if the Holy Spirit is coming and he is going to be coming alongside of me, that means he's still going to be in me, but he's going to be with me along the way. He's going to encourage. He's going to help me love people that I can't love very well. Like yesterday, I didn't do a very good job, but at least I made up for it, right? And when your spouses are getting those moments, the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, can help you overcome that anger and just frustration and be loving. The Holy Spirit wants to come alongside of you and help you where you're weak, strengthen you where you're not strong, and be the God in you to change the circumstances around you. But the second thing is, he said he will lead, he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of Jesus. So the same Spirit of Jesus is in me. This is awesome. That means it really, God is in me, the Spirit of truth is in me, which is the Spirit of Jesus. Wow. This is just this awesome picture, and I don't know if you ever left here yet with Kenny doing this, and that is, have you just left here with the weight of what he's been sharing for the last 3 weeks? God lives in me. Boy, maybe I shouldn't be watching that stuff with God in me. Maybe I shouldn't be talking that way. Maybe I shouldn't be doing these things. God lives in me. I just think this is just an amazing concept. God himself is inside of me right now, inside of you right now. And he longs to be that. So here's what I want to do this morning. Jump to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to switch gears. Well, not really, but I want to talk about Rome. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in us and what he needs to do. I was praying this with a group this morning, that before we can truly give out everything we need to let him do this in us first. He wants to work in us. So Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, just got done talking about faith. Paul liked to talk a lot about faith, if you notice. If you look at verse 19, 20, that's the verses about them not staggering faith, not staggering belief, but against hope he believed, he stood. So now I understand, we live in faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Now, Paul is saying right here, because we are justified by faith, you have peace also. So not only does Jesus promise you his peace, Paul says, because you're living in faith, you have peace. If you're living in faith and trust in God, don't you think you should always have peace? You know, one of the things that you understand about me, and I'm going to really, please don't throw anything at me, but one of the greatest statements I hate in Christian church today is, oh, hey, don't worry, brother, God's in control. Now, please don't let me be offensive. He is not in control. Have you seen the world around you? He is only in control of what I give him to be Lord over in control. He is not a dictator. He is the Lord, but he does it through permission. So yes, I do theologically differ than some, I'm sure, but I do not believe that this whole deal, oh, hey, God's in control. Well, good, you know what? I'm going to go take a nap today and let him do everything for me. And let's just see how that all worked out. I'm just going to sit back on cruise control, and let's just see where this baby goes. He's in control. He'll take me where he wants. Come on. Take some human responsibility once in a while. Step up in faith and you go ahead and speak to mountains because he told you to do it. You go ahead and obey him, and you go ahead and honor him, and you go and listen. You pay your tithe and see if he won't open the windows of heaven. Why don't we do something on our part rather than say, oh, hey, don't worry, God's in control. Cop out. That's what I want to say. Don't cop out. He is on the throne, and he is the king of the universe. But there are boundaries and jurisdictions that he set for himself. When Adam and Eve chose in the garden to rebel against him, you know, if I was God, I would have said, you know, forget it. You guys are a mess. Take him out. Next one, go. He couldn't, because he had a jurisdiction he put in place that said, this is my, I'm getting off of my own, and I've got to let this thing play out. And he did. He made Jesus, his son, come down here and says, listen, go ahead and redeem what the first Adam couldn't do. I'm going to send a second Adam. He had a plan and a provision for our failure, and he still does today. So saying he always has a way out of escape, but how do we get there? We choose to yield. We choose to submit. We choose to lower our pride and let him take over the wheel. You know, that whole, you know, there's two things that the church, bumper stickers, and I promise you, I want to do this. I really want to do this. Two bumper stickers, and I promise you I won't do it because I don't want my insurance to go up. But if I see a bumper sticker, God is in control, I just really want to rear end them and say, hey, don't worry, God's in control. And the second thing I want to do is when I see Jesus as my co-pilot, I want to set my brakes, let him hit him, and go, next time let him be your pilot. I just want to do something like that where we understand that you are not in the driver's seat, and if you are, you're not doing a very good job. He is either Lord of all or Lord not at all. We need to let him become that in our life. And that's when when we let him control, he does a very good job. But it's us yielding our will. Okay, so when we understand all this right here, and I was all just one verse, but that was kind of a sidetrack, wasn't it? Was that a tangent? It was. Okay, never mind. It was just a tangent. But either way, it's a big one of mine. But when we understand that through faith, we have peace. We have peace not because we have the flippant response of, hey, don't worry, God's in control, but we have faith knowing that when something comes our way, which we're going to talk about in just a second, when tribulation comes our way, we grow in patience. Let's keep going. I'm jumping ahead. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Well, this is just, I don't even know why I even went. I could have just preached this verse and then been done today. Let's just stay here for a second. And if I have to end it, I'll do it. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So what he's saying is, I want you to, great, these are words that we've used as a church a long time. Grace is the power of God, the ability of God working on our behalf. Grace is God's power in us, his ability. So when he says in Hebrews 4, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace. Mercy is his immediate reaction to you coming to the throne. Jesus is like, thanks for coming, and here's my love, and here's my compassion. This is mercy. It's his God's love. Mercy is truly, the Old Testament, the word mercy is literally loving kindness in some areas. Mercy is saying, you come to me and you're going to experience my love. But then he says, when you come to the throne, you will find grace. Grace is what you get the ability to lead changed. It motivates you to stay changed. Grace is power. Grace is strength. And Keith Moore did a teaching series. Was it men's group? I don't know where we did. But greater grace. And I thought when I read that, I'm like, wow. And then he put not just one scripture, but two and three. And he goes, great grace came upon them. Imagine right now we're living in grace, but if you're walking in greater grace, greater authority, greater ability of God inside of you, why? How'd you get there? By faith. By faith, you have access to this greater grace. So we ought to be living not just victorious, but more than victorious. By faith, you have peace. And that peace gives you access by grace to receive everything that God has for us. You following this? Paul is just, I know that I could just teach Romans my whole, I know, Mark, what, not Romans, but yours is Galatians. Well, you have the shorter version of Paul. But because Paul does Galatians and Ephesians, kind of take Romans and put them down and really, I just love this because I believe so much if the church understood the power of faith and grace, we'd be so much better off than we are now. Like, oh, brother, yeah, that's all you do is preach faith. I wish I could preach it more. Because faith is our only, as believers, the word of faith is the only power that we ever can stand on, because faith is what changes things around us, it changes us, and it helps us get the ability to know God can do it through faith. And say, speak to the mountain. It's just, oh, just pray about that mountain for a while. That's why a lot of you are still have mountains around you. You're praying about the mountain. We do a little rally. We do a circle and say, oh, Lord, we really don't like this mountain here. And he says, why don't you just take some faith, and you can have whatever you ask if you ask in faith without wavering. Jesus taught him this. Paul teaches it. This is a constant through all the New Testament. Jesus, Paul, when you live in faith, you live in victory. It's when you stop walking in faith, it's when you start getting defeated. So by faith, you get grace, wherein we stand. Not fail, not fall, not sit. We stand in grace. And once you're victorious, how are you not doing this? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Sermon's over right there. Faith with grace. And because of that grace that you're encountering, that ability to stand, now you're rejoicing. But, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. You know, Hebrews 4 says, when you let patience and faith will produce righteousness, will produce results. You see, as Christians, just because you have faith doesn't mean you don't have to endure patience. I mean, I'm praying for stuff right now. I'm believing God for stuff right now. And you know what? Some I'm praying for a couple of days and see God moving it. Some I'm still speaking. I'm still standing. But I only know one way of doing it, and that's his way. But I will have the patience to endure, because I will outlast the enemy. He will not. I will not be that person in Galatians 6 that says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. I don't want to be the one fainting. I want to reap the harvest that's been promised to me, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to have patience on the word. I'm going to keep declaring. And you know what? I will tell you one thing to check. And this is a great sermon I heard years ago about, they said, the gospel according to your car dashboard. This was like 30-something years ago. Every one of those gauges has some, now half of them I don't look at, and Mark knows that because he got in my truck one time and was like, oh, you know, if you put a little more oil in it, it runs better. Like, well, you know, I just didn't look at that gauge. It was just, oh, it wasn't a gauge. It was something I got, yeah, see, then I got to open the hood. That's even worse. So, you know, but those all those things mean something. You know what I look at the most? I don't even look at the fuel one, because I have a little thing that says low fuel. That means I got to get some fuel in my truck. You see how that works? I don't have to look at that gauge, because as soon as the little alert goes off, oh, I got to get fuel. It happened on the way here, by the way. Like, oh, I guess I'm low on fuel. See, but those gauges all mean something. And when you're looking at your relationship with God, every one of those should show something. And if you're looking at your patience gauge and it's way down here, and you're wondering why you're not receiving from the Lord, you can't just say, a lot of times we get upset, well, I've been praying about this, and I can't get an answer. Hold on, check your gauges out. My car won't start. Did you check your battery? Well, I don't care, it won't start. Well, there's nothing wrong with your car, folks. You just need a new battery. Or maybe you just don't need to leave the lights on or whatever you did that caused the battery to die in the first place. You see, everything in our walk with God has gauges that we can see areas in us of why we're not receiving. I don't want to blame God and live my life blaming God for things not going my way, when all of a sudden there's a gauge right there that says, how's your patience doing? Well, it says right here, through faith and patience and faces you receive the promise. Well, you got your faith down, good job. You're speaking to mountains, we're good. But how about that patience? Your heart's not right, Adam. So you're not receiving. So there's other reasons why we're not receiving, and it's not always because God's wanting to teach us something. No offense. Or God's, you know, waiting, we're waiting on God to do something again. Most of those gauges show that the problem is on our end. Amen? So it says this, tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. Oh, no. Anybody ever like to tell stories about when you're going through a trial and through that time of patience it became an experience for you you'll never forget? I went through a trial, a tribulation one time. Had some things, this was about, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. I've told the story many times, so I'm not going to go into the details. But that tribulation, as I wept there, just saying, why do people betray and the lies, and it hurt me so bad. And the Lord said, I'll take care of it for you. You guys remember that. I've shared the story many times. And it just was hurting me so bad. I didn't want to leave the house. It just was so frustrating. That experience did something to me. Was it good? Nope. Did God do it? Nope. But during that experience, the Lord gave me a word. And he said, Adam, and he says, so I'll never forget, I was sitting there on my bed in Poston Road House where I lived back there. He said, just as I shut the mouth of the lions for Daniel, I'll shut the mouth of your accusers. At that point, if you guys don't remember the story, I called my dad, I called Dr. Malone, I called everybody I knew, pray for me, help me, and deliver me, get me out of Martinsville, do something. Instead, it was, get with me, God. And God spoke to me. Just as I shut the mouth of the lion for Daniel, I'll shut the mouth of your accusers. So you know what happened that day? Nothing. The next day, you think they came, called me, apologized? Not a chance. That situation never resolved itself the way I wanted it to. Do you know what? It also has done nothing to me or anyone around me. I had someone come up to me at an event years later and said, by the way, I heard something, but I didn't believe it. I said, oh, okay. So if you won't shut their mouth, you just shut their ears too. It's good. Because they knew it wasn't true. And it wasn't anything. By the way, it wasn't even a scandal. It was just something that hurt me. It wasn't even something. Even if it was true, it wouldn't have done anything. I mean, it just did something that hurt me personally. That experience is something. I remember when God met with me there in that room. Well, brother, I don't like tribulations. I neither. I don't want to go back and do it again. But I do know that through that, I waited on the Lord. I sat there and I prayed and I waited and I had that experience in me. That you know what that experience brought? Hope. Hope to know that in the midst of my trial, God didn't abandon me. God didn't forsake me. God didn't leave me. God was there with me. I will never leave you, nor I will never forsake you. And right there in the midst of that trial, he's there with you. And the experience that you have is building hope in you. And what's the ingredients in Hebrews 11:1? Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Now you got something to build faith with. That trial that you thought was going to destroy you, instead use as fuel for the fire of faith to go stronger. Do you see how we look at trials all wrong? We look at tribulations as something that will destroy us, but God looks at it as this. Use that as fuel for the next battle because now you have something to stand on and your faith grows greater and greater because our experience, believe it or not, does fuel us because God's always faithful. And now we're going with the verse I wanted. So, and once you get to a place where your hope is back, the tribulation came, your patience came, your experience was built. You've now got hope to know that God is in the middle. And in that hope, the hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The only way that we're going to experience God the Father's love for us is by the Holy Spirit. The only way we're going to be more loving to people, this is my little soapbox I want to get on today, but I'm going to have to keep the other one short now. This is the main one I want to get to today. The Holy Spirit is God in us, teaching us how to receive love from the Father so that we can become better conduits of love to others. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit in us manifests God's love in us so that God's love can flow through us. If we are going to ever be people who are living Spirit-filled lives, we ought to be Spirit-filled lovers. The love of God ought to manifest in us. And so I challenge you, not today, don't do it today. Because then you're going to get a lot of people going, I was camping, you had a great time. Oh, shut up. Okay, fine. At another week, look around you and see who you're missing. Look around you and realize that out of the blue, I just picked up my phone this week and I texted somebody because they're on my heart. And it was somebody who lost a loved one years ago. And I don't know why. And then they texted me and said, you're never going to believe this, but I've been having a really hard time this week. Guys, we need to do that better. You know, I look over, it's hard for me. I look at Kelly and I think, how do you not think of, you know, imagine life without someone that you lose. These are things that people don't, just because that day's over doesn't mean that there's not moments that don't come up where they don't need someone to love them, encourage them. We got to do a better job as a church, not just loving the immediate need, but being loving by listening and obeying the Holy Spirit, who throughout the week will tell you, hey, why don't you give so-and-so a call? Why don't you reach out to them? Why don't you listen to the Holy Spirit's voice and become that loving part of God for that person that very day? And when you do that, the encouragement is, I got a text on Friday morning. Just the guy texted me out of the blue saying, hey, you know what? I just did something that he didn't know about. And he found out about it Friday. He goes, I heard what you did. I just want you to know, I needed that so bad. I'm gonna now we are about to cancel our our vacation for the weekend. But because of what you did, I was able to help somebody out. I looked at my wife and said, let's go. Even though we don't have a lot of money, that right there will allow us to go ahead and do our weekend. You know what? I just want to be the person who I can help people. And that did more to me than anything else. That text message there made my whole day. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I feel so great. I almost, excuse me, I forgot what I did. It was something I did earlier. Sometimes I just think if we understood, it's more blessed to give than receive. If you can be this person, the Holy Spirit's a comforter. And if he's comforting us and he's leading us to love others, don't we ought to be more loving ourselves? Caring about where people are, where they're not. Maybe they're not at church right now because they don't like me. That happens, by the way. Or maybe they're not at church because it has nothing to do with you or us at all. It's because they're going through a hard time and they just don't. And they've isolated themselves, and maybe your phone call, your text message could be the very thing that motivates them. And you're like, well, brother, I've done it before. Do it again. Do it again. I'm not very good. Sometimes, you know what? Oh, I get busy, and I'm really guilty of it. And this week, as I was preparing for this throughout the week, I was feeling, man, I need to do a better job of this myself. Make ourselves available. Let them know that they're important. Because that's the Spirit of God in us, loving through you. There. The other thing is, though, let's keep going because I don't want. Let's move to the next one I have, and that is Ephesians 4. Oh, it's there. All right, we're not gonna go do this whole thing because I was looking at my notes this morning, going, I had way too much for this one. So, if you guys wonder what I do is. I do a bunch of chicken scratch, my phone's not with me. But I have a note thing on my phone, and so throughout the week, I just write notes and notes. I have some on my computer. So I come in on Sunday mornings, I put them all together, and I like to do it fresh. And that's why sometimes it takes me a little bit longer to get ahead of the others. I'm like, oh, because I'm taking stuff out. I'm like, ooh, I'm putting it all together, and it's like 3 pages long. I'm like, oh, that's going to take me 4 days, and we only have like 35 or 40 minutes. So I take a lot out, but like sometimes I just put it in there and think, hey, just wing it when you get there. And so that's why if you ever wonder, I'm in a wing it mode, is because I realize there's so much in here, I just don't know what to cut out. And so I'm winging it, meaning I don't really want to cut any of this stuff. But let's get to verse 15. That's the one I want to focus on, and let's build it from there. That way I'm just saying, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him all things. We can't see it. It's right in the middle of thought. See, I try to do that. I can't do it. Okay, this is the fivefold ministry that they call. I don't know where the term came from, but either way, it's five ministries that operate in the church: prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And what do? In verse 12, they perfect the saints, work of the ministry, and edify, and they build up the body. They mature you, they encourage you, and they build you up. So right now, the fivefold ministry, those five giftings in the church are supposed to build you up, mature you, and encourage you. This is what then our job after being led by this great leadership, till we all come together in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, a mature man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we, once we're getting to a place of maturity, that we henceforth no more. This is powerful. Children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but we, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now it makes more sense, right? Not that we're no longer children. Excuse me. We are mature believers. standing on the word, being encouraged by the leaders around us, getting ourselves in the word, getting those podcasts downloaded, getting Kenny's little midweek podcast, or whether, you know, the Keith Moore's free online. That's why if you ever hear us, you know, honestly, if you ever hear us, the church talk a lot about Keith Moore. I like Keith Moore. I think that he's a good preacher. There's a lot of good ones out there. Keith Moore does something that a lot of ministries don't do, and that is you can get on his website 24 hours a day and download anything for free. That's why a lot of times it's easiest to get to his stuff. Because I'm not a guy who likes to go out and buy a bunch of, you know, series. And I mean, I really love other stuff. But if it's not on YouTube or online today, I don't do a lot of it. But Keith Moore. So when you hear those names, they're good. There's a lot of great ministers out there. But get out there and listen. So when I'm on a long drive and I'm by myself, a lot of times I get to listen to just sports radio, news, and then teaching. Because I enjoy listening. I like to learn. And sometimes you can only listen to news so much before you get stupider. So like, well, that's not going to work. I feel more dumb now. So I think I'm going to go and and especially if you hear some of the news that we have out there today, it just does not make us smarter. But the God's word always makes us wiser. And so we get in his word. But I encourage you, mature, grow up, get to the place of maturity. Then you do this. Then you become, verse 15. Once you're mature, you go around speaking the truth in love. And this goes back to my main point this morning. The Holy Spirit is God's love in us to change us so we can become a change to others. I wrote this out this week. The Lord gave me this exact, oh, never mind. I'm jumping ahead. Oh, okay, get back to my notes, excuse me. When we become people who speak the truth in love, we don't enable their behavior. We love them to bring truth to change them. But love is the vehicle that we use to bring truth. Otherwise, you're just harsh. You're just mean. There are some people who are dead right, and they're going to die dead right. But it will change no one or nothing around them because they're so right. You are so right, but no one will hear you because your heart is so wrong. We've got to be people that know that the truth should never change. I believe God's word is the plumb line for everything. It does not change. My view on marriage, my view on this, my view on everything is based on what God's word says, and I will not change. But the way I approach it should be in love. The way we approach people should be loving. Not so loving that we don't bring truth, because then we're going to love them right to hell. But loving them to a point where they know you love them so much, but because of your love for them, you don't ever, ever hold back the truth either, because that's not loving. And so my main focus this morning is the Holy Spirit's a lover, but he also loves truth. And so when we want to go and reach out to people that are hurting, going back to the earlier point, and you make that phone call, and you find out maybe they're hurt. Maybe somebody in this church said something to them that offended them. I got one way to answer it. Man, I'm really sorry that happened. Can I help you out? You know the answer you don't want? Give me more details. I want to find out about this person. Tell me, oh yeah, I feel the same way. They are such a jerk. Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, I can see why you don't go to church. You know what? Next week, I'm going to skip too now just because of that. Let's not go down that road. Let's instead be the one that says, you know what? I'm sorry that hurt you. I can see why that hurts. Can I just help you out sometime? Can I bring truth to you? Love you a little bit more? Let you know that not everybody at the church feels that way about you? I ran to someone the other day, and only one person in the room knows who it is, and they told me that they were announcing home groups, or small groups, and when we were talking about all the different groups, this person was single, and they said that with the way that it was announced, I just felt like I wasn't invited to go to your group, so I decided no, and they stopped coming to church here. And they said to me flat, I was offended by that. And I just want you to know. But I realized it was a lie, I believe. And they came to me. It was good, very good conversation, actually. Very good. But something else led them away, too. They had a chance to go and go through a class. It was encouraging. And then, you know what's funny, though, is that this lady is a very nice lady. I mean, and actually, I mean, I like her a lot. I was asking her, I haven't seen you for a while. And that's what it was. It was, you know, it was that class plus. I allowed myself to get offended because I realized I wasn't invited yet. If you look at the class that I had at my house, I had two single ladies there already. Isn't it funny how sometimes they get offended by things that are even not true? So be careful when you hear it. Just listen with your heart. listen with love, and then when the time comes, you can bring truth, which brings change. Loving them just by the fact of loving is great, but that's the vehicle to bring the truth of the Holy Spirit and bring them change. Because if change doesn't happen, then we're just loving them all the way to pieces here. Let me close with this morning. I'm not going to have you turn there. John 4, one of my great chapters. I'm going to cut down the whole story by just giving it all to you. Jesus said he was led to go through. And when he's led there, and his disciples said, we're hungry. So he goes, I'm going to go by this well over here. He's led to go to a well. And one thing I love about Jesus, when he said he was led, it means he was not just taking a walk meaninglessly. The Father led him to that well. Because he knew, and if you looked at the well, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. And if you know anything about the Jewish customs, they had to get water at like 6 a.m. before it was hot out. Because they'd carry the water, they'd go to the well and carry the water back. And that's when all the ladies had their water cooler time. They'd have their little water time in the morning, and they'd go and they'd chat, and that's where friends were. But if you were not accepted in that group, and you were not able to be with them because you're an outcast, because of your lifestyle, you went later in the day by yourself. And Jesus was led by the Spirit to go to the well at that time. And he met a woman there. And the disciples, they left and got lunch. They were getting breakfast or lunch, or they went to, there's a McDonald's down the road or something, I don't know. But they were eating. And Jesus said to the woman, can you give me some water? And the story goes on and say, no, the water I'll give you will give you life and you'll never thirst again. As he was meeting with that woman, what did he do? He called out, he says, woman, you have a husband? She says, no. And I know you have five. I know you. Oh, I perceive you're a prophet. Remember that story? So Jesus is going to this woman, this encounter at the well. And he encourages her. He says, gets this help. But here's the moral of the story for me is this. Jesus met a woman who identified herself as an adulterer, identified herself as an outcast, who identified herself by her sin. But Jesus did not let her sin identify her. I wrote this out the other day. Jesus identified the sin, but did not let her sin identify her. I'm going to read that again. I thought it was really good. Jesus identified her sin, but did not let her sin identify her. A lot of times, as Christians, I encourage you to be careful. Just because someone has committed adultery doesn't mean they're an adulterer. Just because someone's gay doesn't mean they have to stay that way. Don't label them. Just because someone is deceived in their areas of their life doesn't mean you label that. When you label their behavior and you identify them in a way that is unreachable. But if I look at somebody who's gay and I say, you know what? Jesus, he redeems us all. That's not how I'm going to identify you. I am not going to walk around, hey, I met some gay guy. No, I'm going to meet a guy today, and he needs Jesus. And I want to love that guy to a place where he can meet his Savior and be changed. Love doesn't identify people by their sin. It identifies people for who they are and who they're called to be. I want to speak the calling of God on their lives, not just what we see with our natural eyes. Love transcends what we see. Does this make sense to you this morning? The Holy Spirit is God loving in us, loving us so we can become better lovers of other people. Now, does it mean that you don't ever get to a point where you speak truth to that person? No, sir. No, ma'am. You still speak the truth. And so today's world, there's a lot of churches that won't preach that as truth, and I understand that. That's fine. I'm not going to fight with you. But I know what God's word says, and that's the plumb line for my life. But we must be people who don't just harsh critics of truth without loving them first or being so loving that we don't bring truth. The Holy Spirit says, I am the comforter, and I am the Spirit of truth. I will comfort you. Man, so when the truth comes, it doesn't hurt so bad. You ever get that with your kids? Hey, I read this in a good leadership magazine. It said, if you're going to go ahead and bring correction, bring three positives before you say anything mean. Like, butter them up. Oh, you look great today. Oh, I'm glad you're on time. By the way, you're fired. I mean, it works great. I mean, they left very happy. No, it doesn't. But you see, there is a way to do stuff. But if you know the person that's talking to you loves you, don't you receive it a little bit better from them? Don't you understand that this person would only say this because they love me? And that's because you took the time and you took the experience to relate to them. You reached out to them, not on a Sunday morning. You reached out to them on a Tuesday afternoon. They knew you loved them, and that way when you were able to bring truth to them, they knew that your love for them was real. You know, years ago, I'm done with this right now. Did you want to play at the end, or did you want to? Come on up. Yeah, you're welcome to. Come on up. Without the other band, I mean, look, you think about this. Chad's gone, and was he in Tennessee? So the other worship leader, the other one's out, and now you get, it's just like next man up, right? You know what I'm saying? Let's keep going. And did third string? Is there anyone else? Yeah, third, I think, right now. Unless someone else comes in, it might be four. I don't know. But isn't that great to know that God's blessed us so much that this morning this band came together and did a great job? So thank you guys so much for the work they put in. And, they didn't need to do that for you, did they? But thanks. It was neat because I saw Kim and Jared even on Tuesday for a while coming in here. Was it Tuesday? Whatever day it was. Wednesday, they were in here doing some stuff, and then they came back. So it's just really neat to see that they put a lot of work in there to make this work. But the last story I do want to leave you with, and I know those that don't know, I don't idolize people in my life, but I have respect for certain leaders in my life. But, you know, I got to know, Mark, how long have I gotten to know you? 10 years. This guy's been running a men's group outside of this church for a long time. And when I first met him, they had a men's group that met in a public location, and it was, no one was from here. So Ed Suter came up to me one day and said, how well do you know Mark? It was in the spring. So I don't know him that well, but I like him. We're going to know each other pretty well, and I have a lot of respect for him. And what if we quit what we were doing for men's group? Because it's not working very well. And what if we just went to his? Great idea. So Ed and like two other guys went over there. So I ventured to go over there a few times, and this group was amazing. But you know what? I found out about this group. Boy, they can fight. They can argue. They can discuss it. But man, these guys loved each other. Well, you wouldn't know it during the meeting sometimes. But you did afterwards and before. And even during it, you knew it. You just knew it. So you got a little bit bristly at times. But then I got to know Mark a little bit more. I'd be out, whichever vehicle I'm buying at the time from him or whatever, I'm out there. And he starts going, hey, by the way, so-and-so. And over the years, I'll bet you there's been, I don't know how many, hundreds of people just naturally reach out to him because they know they can. I'm not saying that to put him on a pedestal, but why are we all not that way? Why are we not pointing in my life? And I know it for me, it's because maybe I don't text back right away. Or maybe there's things where, and I know it's wrong. I do. I get so busy. Then I get the text log, like 30. And I only get like 5 on my page. Forget they're down there. Then I scroll. Then I finally sit on at night. I scroll through them. It's like it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I've got like 12 text messages. I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. You know what happens? And it's terrible. It's bad. But Mark doesn't do that. Even when he's working, he'll pick up the phone and call you back and say, hey, what you need? I want to be better. I want to be that person who loves so much that people go to you because they know they'll be loved. But they also know, have you been around Mark? He's not going to pull any punches with you. That's why they keep coming back. They know they can go there because of his love, but they keep coming back because of truth. You see how that works? You can't have, oh, that guy's so loving. You know what? You keep loving him long enough, like, oh, you know, there's a person in my life that I have the great respect for. And I can call them and say, yeah, I just shot somebody. Oh, brother, I love you. I'm there for you. I'm like, no, don't be that way for once. Tell me you know what? Sometimes we don't want to just feel loved. But we know we can call them because they love us. We also want truth. So I encourage you, let's make this an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do this in us. We become better at loving people so much to the point where they're going to be the one, they reach you, they're going to reach out to you, and they're going to have the ability to bring truth at all these times in your life. Not enabling them, but truth. Does this make sense this morning? The Holy Spirit isn't just go give us the fireworks. It's not just the candles on the top of the cake and we celebrate, we jump around and we dance and we hang around in chandeliers, we speak in tongues, we prophesy to one another and go, ain't it great to be filled with the Holy Ghost? The best attribute about the Holy Spirit, he's a lover, just like Jesus. He loves you into truth. And I want to be the person today, and I want us all to leave here today knowing there's a conviction on your life. Am I truly loving people and bringing truth in their lives? It's both. Amen? Let's stand this morning. As we close, let me just pray this over here. Father, I start always like I always do. For those in the room right now that are just, you know in your heart, this is an area I need to do better. I know God's called me. Let me just, as you guys are standing right now, let me just share, I feel this in my spirit. Being a pastor is not a title. It's a job description. Some of you right now have the heart of a pastor, but don't have the title. The Bible says do the work of the ministry. It doesn't say do what people call you. Do who you are. Be who you are. There are people in the room right now, I just feel this in my heart to share this with you. As you're standing here, pastors are shepherds who love sheep. We need more pastors. We need more shepherds. We need more people like we talked about a minute ago with Mark. Yeah, they'll break the sheep's leg. But that sheep always goes back to the shepherd because he knows that shepherd loves him. Truth and love. Raise up a church today, starting with me right now, Lord. Areas that I've been missing it. I've dropped the ball. I've not been there where I should be. Start with me and let this become an epidemic of spirit life. Those people, boy, there's a lot of good shepherds there. They really care about me. It's not a church, it's people. It becomes a culture that I'm believing the Holy Spirit wants to cultivate in this building starting at this moment now in us. So I'm asking you right now, Holy Spirit, shed abroad your love in my heart that I know I'm loved. Some of you just stop right there and receive. You're loved by God. Not based on your performance, but based on his performance at the cross. He loves you today. He's madly in love. He adopted you as your own. And you're one of his. And now because of that, may your love be shed abroad in my heart and be produced out of me so I can love others the way you love me. I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a lover. I want the Holy Spirit to love through me every day. And I want to create in me a culture, an atmosphere, an environment where the Holy Spirit's love is flowing through me every day. And yes, loving them with truth, loving them for change's sake, so they can meet the King and be transformed like I am. So I just pray this over the people this morning. Just receive that this morning. A commission to go forth and to create a culture of loving people to truth. Using love as the avenue, as the vehicle, and truth as the end. Always bringing people to truth. So today, Father, thank you for your love for us. May your people enjoy the rest of this weekend. And Lord, I do want to say before I leave, thank you. Now we get to live in one of the greatest, the greatest country in the world. We are blessed to be Americans. We're blessed because of all those great men and women that have given the ultimate sacrifice for this nation, for this ground that we stand on today. And I am grateful, and we thank you for the service that they had for our country and paid the price for us. So we continue to spend the rest of this weekend honoring you and also honoring those that made this weekend possible too. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, greet somebody.